Okay, I have no financial relationships to disclose. I'd like to start off acknowledging my co-authors, Joelle Wallstein, Sam Krumholtz, Brees Robertson, Brenda Faber, and Allison Diamant. In particular, I'd like to acknowledge Brees Robertson and Brenda Faber with the Trust for Public Land for creating the analytic Park GIS database that we used in our research. Yuyan Wang for actually connecting the park data with our health data, and Yuqing Yang for our statistical support. Okay, so I think you're mostly familiar with this background, but rates of obesity among youth are considerably higher today than they were 30 or 40 years ago, and currently about 17% of children and adolescents in the U.S. are obese. In addition to that, less than 20% of American children get at the recommended level of physical activity, which is 60 minutes per day. There are some important health consequences associated with these high obesity rates. Obese children are more likely to experience high blood pressure and high cholesterol, both of which are risk factors for cardiovascular disease. They're more likely to have insulin resistance and to develop type 2 diabetes. They're more likely to develop joint problems and more likely to be obese as adults. Similarly, there are many known benefits of physical activity, including reduced risk of cardiovascular disease, reduced risk of type 2 diabetes, controlling weight or reduced risk of obesity, as well as improved mood and concentration, and some evidence suggesting that among kids, it may actually improve academic achievement. Now, many kids in the U.S. lack safe places to play. These pictures are actually from a park in Santa Monica, which recently opened, which is where I live, or close to where I live. I don't actually live in the park, but and instead they experience barriers similar to what you see here. So even if they have parks available, those parks aren't safe for them to play in, or they may have some space near where they live, but their ability to recreate in that space is prohibited. So in this work, we're interested in looking at how a few factors are related to physical activity and obesity. In particular, we were interested in whether objectively measured proximity to parks is related to these two outcomes, whether perceived proximity to parks is related to physical activity and obesity, use of parks, and also the perceived safety of parks. So, to look at our questions, we conducted a cross-sectional analysis using data from the 2009 California Health Interview Survey, which I'll describe a little bit more in just a minute. We used GIS to link the CHIST data with locations of parks and open space in California, and I'll tell you a little bit about our data sources and then talk about some of our findings. So first of all, we used our primary data source was the 2009 California Health Interview Survey, which is a telephone survey of about 47,000 households in California, including interviews with about 3,400 adolescents who are interviewed directly, so they respond for themselves. The interviews are performed in every county in the state and in five languages and are representative of the 2009 California population. In addition to collecting information about health status and health behaviors, sociodemographic characteristics, information is also collected about the household location, which is important for linking our data with the data from the California Protected Areas database, which is a GIS inventory of all parks and open space in the state of California. It was developed by Green Info Network, which is a nonprofit group, and they've actually accrued funding from a number of different sources, including the California Department of Public Health, to maintain this database and keep it up to date. So it's a very comprehensive data set of parks and open space in the state. We worked with the Trust for Public Land to identify park service areas in California, and the Trust for Public Land is a national nonprofit which focuses on conservation. I'll talk a little bit more about the specific park variables that we were looking at, but first wanted to tell you about our outcomes. We looked at physical activity days per week, so adolescents were asked, other than during PE, in the past 7 days, on how many days were you physically active for at least 60 minutes total per day? And the idea with these questions is to get at whether kids are able to meet those recommendations of 60 minutes a day. This measure was dichotomized into less than 5 days with 60 minutes versus five or more days with 60 minutes, because it turns out very few kids actually meet the 7-day recommendation, so the sample size for that was just a little small. We also looked at obesity based on self-reported height and weight, which was used to calculate BMI, and then obesity was defined as being at or above the 95th percentile compared to the age and sex-specific growth charts from the CDC. Okay, so our first predictor variable of interest was objective proximity to parks, which we operationalized as living in a park service area. To determine this, buffers were drawn around park boundaries. So the park boundaries are basically just expanded out. If it was a small park, less than 1 acre, they were expanded out 1/4 mile. For larger parks, they were expanded out 1/2 mile around the park, because 1/2 mile is typically considered walking distance. But we were concerned that the small parks would be perhaps a less popular destination, so we used a smaller buffer for those parks. In addition to objective proximity to parks, we looked at several self-reported indicators. Perceived proximity to parks, where adolescents were asked, is there a park in walking distance of your home? Recent park use, where adolescents were asked, have you visited a park in the past 30 days? And perceived park safety, where adolescents were asked to rate their agreement with the statement, the nearby park is safe during the day. So the park nearest where they live. And then they rated whether they strongly agree to strongly disagree with that statement. We included several covariates in our multivariate analyses: age, gender, race, ethnicity, and household income. And I'm going to just go over first some of our unadjusted analyses, bivariate relationships between our predictors of interest and physical activity and obesity. And then I'll talk about our multivariate relationships. So, in California, only 15% of teens meet the current physical activity recommendations. So, as I alluded to before, that was a pretty small proportion, and so in our analyses we opted to look at that purple slice of the pie, which is 5 or more days per week instead of 7 or more days per week. And when we looked at associations between physical activity and those four park-related variables that we were interested in, we found that physical activity rates are higher among teens who live in a park service area. So 44% of teens were active at least 5 days if they lived in a park service area, compared to 35% of teens who did not live in a park service area. We also found that physical activity rates were higher among teens who use parks. So if they had been to a park in the past 30 days, 40% of them were active on 5 or more days, compared to just 30% if they hadn't recently visited a park. When we examine these associations using multivariate models, we found that Both of these associations remained statistically significant after we controlled for age, gender, race, and income, as well as all four of those park-related variables. So teens who live in a park service area and teens who recently visited a park were more likely to be physically active. However, perceived proximity to a park was not related to physical activity, and neither was perceived safety of the park. When we looked at obesity, we saw a different set of relationships. I should mention that overall in California, 12% of the adolescents were obese. When we look at this as a function of perceived proximity to parks, so self-reporting that you live in walking distance of a park, we see that the prevalence of obesity is higher among teens who say, no, there's no park in walking distance of my home. And we also see that obesity is higher among teens who think that their nearby park is not safe. So 22% of teens who felt that their parks were not safe were obese, compared to just 9% who strongly agreed that their nearby park was safe. And again, these associations remain statistically significant in models where we controlled for all four of those park variables as well as the demographic characteristics. So teens who self-report having a park in walking distance are less likely to be obese, as well as teens who self-report that their neighborhood parks are safe. But obesity was not related to objective proximity to parks, nor was it related to recently visiting a park. So, just to summarize, we found that actually living in a park service area and recently using a park were associated with higher levels of physical activity, but were not related to obesity among adolescents, whereas perceived proximity to parks and perceived safety of parks were associated with lower rates of obesity, but were not related with physical activity. I know, that's exactly what we said. So a couple of limitations. First, this is cross-sectional research, so we don't know about the causal relationships between these variables, just that they are related. We also don't have any information about the quality of the parks, the conditions of the parks, whether there's programming available at the parks. And we know from other research that all of these things are important in terms of use of parks and levels of physical activity in parks. And finally, we don't know how the adolescents used the parks. We don't know if they went there and sat around and talked to their friends, or if they were actually physically active while they were at the park. So what would we want to conclude from this? Well, first of all, we need to do more research to try and understand the differential effects of these perceived and objective park access variables, because at this point, we don't know why perceived access to parks is related to obesity but not physical activity, but we see the opposite pattern for objective access to parks. However, we do take this evidence as encouraging that maybe either improving existing parks or creating new parks could be an effective way to promote physical activity among youth. And we also think that taking steps to improve the perceived and actual safety of parks could increase park use, which in turn could help promote physical activity and possibly be related to obesity among teens. So, thank you very much. That's actually a good question, and we haven't done that yet, but that is something that we would like to look at. So I think it's a good suggestion. Thank you. Yes?
To me, park applies a variety of things. And just running through Austin Garden over here, I mean, there's a lot of green space, but there is a trail for people to walk, bike, and run free from traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one way to get people physically active. You mentioned the safety as a measure during the daytime.
Yes.
There are also, and in neighborhoods where, of course, there are some kind of organized sports team, you know, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever, there's demand in some neighborhoods for lighted fields, okay, which is an extra cost to the municipality. And I wonder if any of those were included in the parks that you have.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we don't have information about any of those characteristics of the parks. We know how big they are, although, but we don't know, you know, whether they have any kind specific kinds of amenities like trails or fields, and whether those fields are lighted or not. So I think those things are important to look at, and we just unfortunately don't have that data.
Sometimes for adults, the purpose is just to get people walking in open and exercising in open space.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, playing fields obviously take more. In the case of a playground, when you're getting children,
mm-hmm.
you just put a lot of equipment, and sometimes in a small space, and
Dakota Town. Right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, and there are different different amenities that are, as you alluded to, attractive to different age groups. Yeah. Yes.
So I'm just trying to visualize actual human beings in this study. So
yeah.
Just let you know if I'm picturing this data the right way. There could be two children that live in the same building, therefore the same distance from a park, and the kid who feels like the park is within walking distance.
Yeah, I think that's true. Mm-hmm.
Even though they're clearly the exact same.
Yes, objectively, they're the same. Right, they would both be living within walking distance of that park, objectively. Yeah. Yes. Oh, sorry.
Did you find a relationship between children that engaged in physical activity during the school day and then chose to go to parks outside of school hours?
We don't know whether they visited the parks outside of school hours, although the assumption would be that they did. But the physical activity measure is not specific to during the school day, so it's an overall indicator of physical activity. And we don't have a way to sort of separate the in-school versus out-of-school physical activity. Yeah, so that would be interesting to look at, but we can't do it, at least not with this data set.
I think I saw a little question here.
Did you look at all about the park usage and the jurisdiction of who's managing the park, whether it's a municipal park or county park or state run? Was that any kind of indication of whether or not they were actually used?
You know, that is an interesting question, and we did not look at that, but I believe that the California Protected Areas database includes some information about the ownership of the park. So that might be something we could get at, but it's not something that we've looked at yet. So thank you.
And we'll have some time at the end to explore more questions. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.